number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
And thank you for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. A couple of years ago when I first got married, I shouldn't say a couple of years ago, it feels like a couple of years ago, it was more like, 17 years ago, my wife and I were young and we were newlyweds and we were living in Las Vegas at the time and we were just kind of getting used to what happens when you get married. You sort of merge two lifestyles together and some things don't work out very well. And about a year into our marriage, I made a disastrous financial decision. I really messed up and I broke trust and it was really bad. And my wife and I went through just a really, really dark time and we got over it. And as we progressed in our marriage and then got, grew older and had kids and moved into a couple of cities and advanced in our careers, even then, this is still one of those topics that my wife is very guarded on. I was 26 years old. I thought I knew a lot more of the world than I did. And I made a tremendous mistake. Huge mistake. It cost us thousands of dollars. We couldn't pay that off for years. And we finally took care of it. But even after it was gone, and even after we grew a life together, when it comes to major financial decisions, we really have to talk stuff out. Because I really have to make sure that if I'm going to do anything, it's the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. That's the punishment, I guess, that I still live with, even in my 40s. And I say that because this story from the Los Angeles Lakers about D'Angelo Russell is a gargantuan mistake on Russell's part. Now, for those who are kind of looking at this story on the periphery, D'Angelo Russell is a 19-year-old NBA player who, by his own coach's admission, acts sometimes like he's 14. And he was secretly taping Nick Young and asking him questions about some of his women in his life while he's dating Iggy Azalea. And this video of Nick Young admitting having relationships while dating Iggy Azalea got leaked and has been exposed. And this has caused not only a major rift between D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young, but D'Angelo Russell and the Los Angeles Lakers. And not only that, and this is where it gets worse, D'Angelo Russell and a lot of people in the NBA. There are reports that this locker room is ripped apart. D'Angelo Russell can't sit down at a meal. People leave. He doesn't have any teammate camaraderie. They are shunning him. They are abandoning him. They are leaving him out in the cold. They are ignoring him. He's a 19-year-old kid. But he broke sacred trust. He broke locker room trust. He broke teammate trust. This has large ramifications, and it's why I shared the story about the early mistake I made in my marriage that still, even today, I've got two kids, we've been married 17 years, and it's still one of those things that my wife is guarded against. Now, she's not guarded like she makes a big deal about it. She's not guarded that she brings it up every now and then. We, like many married couples, have had arguments over the years, and she's never brought it up. She's never said, let me remind you what you... No, but it's just something. It's sort of that I forgive, but I can't forget. And to protect myself, I can't forget. If I forget, then I let my guard down. That's what's going to happen to D'Angelo Russell for a long time. A long time in this league. This is something Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell may work out. This is something with stellar play, D'Angelo Russell may find himself back. But let me tell you something. This is a sacred fraternity in sports. It goes on in baseball. It goes on in football. It goes on in hockey. It is a relationship unlike any other. when you have teammates and you're in the locker room and there are rules in that locker room that you do not break. And when you do, it's not just your teammates. This affects you wherever you go. D'Angelo Russell moves on to another team or other teammates arrive to play for the Lakers while he's on it. It doesn't matter. There's going to be an absolute wall of distrust when you look at this kid. And this kid is going to feel this effect for a very, very long time. Even if somebody older, like even Nick Young, who's like 10 years older than D'Angelo Russell, puts his arms around him and says, yeah, you know what? You're a kid. You made a mistake. It's all good. Do you think there's going to be a teammate that's going to see and trust this young man ever again with anything that's being said or done in the locker room? Look, we're not naive here. You know, most of us know, hey, these guys have a good time when they're on the road, okay? And some of them do it when they're married. And some of them have secrets they never want anybody to know. Because it would cost them a lot. And it could cost them their marriage, it could cost them relationships or whatever. The morality of it is a separate issue. D'Angelo Russell is exposed to that. He knows what goes on in the hotels while they're on the road. God, you've ever been with a team? It doesn't even matter what sport. You ever go into a hotel lobby when a team checks in? It is loaded with women. And now he has broken the trust of anybody that wants to be called a teammate. This is our gargantuan mistake. This is a mistake that's going to haunt him for a very long time. And I feel bad for him because he is too immature at this level to be the kind of player the Lakers want him to be. Not on the court, but off the court as well. A 19-year-old going on 14. Who tapes a teammate admitting to an affair? Who does that? D'Angelo Russell does that. And D'Angelo Russell is going to feel this for a very long time. I don't know what the Lakers do. I don't know how the Lakers go on with this. Because I've covered sports to know that there have been stories that I've stumbled upon over my years of players-only meetings involving not so much situations like this, but other kind of situations where a teammate has got to be dealt with or talked to in a manner because he exposes too many things or he speaks too much in the media. This just doesn't go on. You got to work with these guys every single day. And it's not like a working relationship where you and I might go into an office for 8 hours a day and then we go home to our families every single night. These guys may only practice with these guys a couple of hours, but they're on the road a lot. They're in hotels a lot. There is a lot of camaraderie, and this thing is cracked. I mean, it was talked about today. The Lakers may have to consider eventually trading him. This is so poisonous. Now, I don't know if it's going to get to that. It was, what, the second overall pick? He's a 19-year-old kid with skills. He is the cornerstone of their rebuilding process. Once they dump the Kobe parade. But let me ask you this. What do you do if you're the Lakers if this is a serious problem where there is no longer going to be camaraderie? Now, D'Angelo Russell spoke about this, and he said, quote, I feel as sick as possible. Been asked 110 times, and my answer and feelings stay the same. These are good starts. But again, like my wife, she forgave me for the mess that I cost our family. It was just her and I at the time. Again, two young kids living in Vegas, not making a lot of money. Didn't have a lot of money to be getting involved in stupid stuff like that. But still, she's guarded. She still goes, I got you, Tony, but we're going to do this. That's D'Angelo Russell. He may have his teammates going, man, that's great. That's great practice. But never, ever approaching the level of trust. I know it sounds petty. And it may seem, oh, really, it's videotaping an affair conversation. They'll get over it. I don't know if they do. That kind of stuff, you can't happen. The Lakers are in trouble. They're trying to celebrate the final couple of games of Kobe Bryant's career. Kobe Bryant, who's putting an exclamation point on a 20-plus year career, and they're losing games by close to 50 points because they're a disaster. They're a mess. They've got guys not sitting with the young kid, not even wanting to talk to him, alienating him, making him feel like the pariah in the locker room. They're a disaster. And I don't think it's getting any better. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Our telephone number 800-777-2907. The mess with the Lakers and D'Angelo Russell. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, though, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball with Chris Swick, Big League Stew from Yahoo Sports. This is our final Major League Baseball preview. I feel like we just started this thing like 2 weeks ago. Baseball's right around the... When's opening day? Sunday night? Is it a full slate Sunday night, or is it like...
No, it's just Mets Royals.
Just Mets Royals. Wow. Got something about that I don't like, though. I just... Interleague play. Ugh. I'm so old school. I got to get over it.
Yeah, and then the Cubs play the Angels the next night.
On Monday?
Yeah, on Monday night. That's their opener.
So when is the big everybody's playing, yay, it's my opening day, get to the park, and everybody's sort of celebrating? When's that?
And the other thing is the Mets, Royals, and Cubs, Angels, it's only a two-game series.
Okay. So is everybody celebrating opening day like Tuesday? I gotta know this.
No, Monday.
I don't live in a baseball town anymore, so I don't know this anymore.
Monday's the full slate of games. Everyone plays Monday.
Okay, so Sunday night it starts. Sunday night Mets Royals play, and that kicks off the season. And then Monday is like afternoon, all these games around the, it's opening day around the country, that kind of thing. Okay, that's Monday. But I used to know this stuff because I used to cover the Rockies. I used to go to opening day. Now I live in Nashville where there's no baseball team.
Yeah, see, I'm annoyed because the White Sox and also the Cubs, they play at 9 o'clock. Their games start 9 p.m. Central.
Really?
Well,
on opening day? Nobody's doing the daylight fun?
I mean, there's a lot of games that are during the day. I think the Astros play during the day, but the Cubs and Sox are both on the West Coast, and they start their games at 9 o'clock. Well, the national championship's that night.
Yeah, that's true. National championships that's night. Yeah, they can't schedule against that. Is nobody's in Japan or anything like that? No, nobody's kicking off the year overseas?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of.
All right, I know they've done that before. So again, Chris Swick will join us. We'll talk National League West as we wrap up our six-part series. Again, every week we've talked to Chris as we previewed Major League Baseball, a rather interesting division. By the way, the Lakers won tonight over the Miami Heat. Do you think Kobe Bryant's like, get me the hell out of here? I am done with this.
Yeah, did you see the picture of him like at the end of, I think it was the end of this game?
Oh, I did not. What was it like?
It was him sitting on the bench. He had both knees wrapped with ice, and then his shoulders were wrapped with ice.
Oh, my God. Is he just like, get me out of here. Broke. I cannot do this anymore. How many points do you have tonight? I'm looking it up right now.
He only played nine minutes.
Oh, two on 1-for-7 shooting.
Yeah,
way to go, Kobe.
He only played nine, so.
I said this when he announced. Because a lot of times when a Derek Jeter announces it's going to be his final year, or even Kobe announcing his final year, we've seen athletes do this, where they announce it before the season starts. Hey, this is going to be it. And they kind of get the tour. You know, Jeter got a bunch of gifts, and Kobe's gotten a bunch of gifts, and it's basically how it's done. And I thought this was the best thing for the Lakers. I said at the time, I said, this is the best thing for the Lakers. They are going to lose so many games. The season is going to be a mess. The Clippers are on the rise. They're more fun. They're exciting. They're going to be making the playoffs. They're going to be making a push. They're going to try to get better. And of course, this is before we knew that Golden State was going to run away with everything. But at the beginning of the season, I said, the Lakers are going to be a disaster. The Clippers are going to be more fun. Hey, look, Los Angeles is still a Laker town, but this is going to be a dead season for the Lakers. But because it's going to be Kobe's final year, a lot of the attention is going to be on Kobe's final year. It's really not, the record is going to be irrelevant. Laker tickets are going to be a must-have. Everyone's going to want to buy them. Everyone's going to want to go to the games. You're never going to get an opportunity to see him again. The Yankees went through this, and the Yankees were a better team, you know, statistically than the Lakers were. The Yankees were making a playoff push in Jeter's final year, but But nevertheless, tickets were going through the roof. You couldn't get tickets to the final couple of home games for Derek Jeter. Everybody wanted to pay respects. Everybody wanted to be there to see him play one more time. And that's what's going on in Los Angeles. So the growth of the team, the growing pains, developing young players, trying to figure out who there will be in the future, playing for a future lottery pick, all of those conversations are irrelevant because it's going to be Kobe's final year and everyone's going to be excited about that, saying goodbye. This D'Angelo Russell story is just one of a few messes the Lakers have had this year. It has really not gone the way I thought it was going to go, where a lot of stuff would just be like white noise, and really everything was going to be on the focus of, hey, Kobe says goodbye, he plays, it doesn't matter if he shoots 1 for 25 or anything like that, it doesn't matter, it's just people are going to say goodbye to Kobe Bryant. But this D'Angelo Russell story is a big, big deal. It is a really, really big deal for their growth. There's going to be players will not go there. Players will not want to trust him. There's going to be discontent in the locker room. There's going to be just trust issues with him. They've got to get over this. They've got to find a way to get over this. I don't know if Jeannie Buss and Jim Buss have to get down there and start talking to players and having a meeting and airing out this grievance. I don't know how this is going to go down. But until Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell sort this out, until teammates sort this out, until everybody in the Lakers starts looking at this kid and going, hey, lesson learned, okay? We're not doing this again. Now, we may not trust you, but we are teammates. We're going to have to play together. So for the betterment of everybody, we're going to do it this way. They lost to Utah by almost 50 points, and Nick Young wasn't even there. That's how much they couldn't stand each other. I mean, that's how much it was a real problem. They're a bad team. You don't lose by 50 just because. There's usually an underlining reason why an NBA team loses by 50. And this is a real problem for the Lakers. I mean, really interesting to see how they swim out of this thing. Really amazing. Speaking of NBA, the Utah Jazz won. I mean, the Utah Jazz gave up a really good fight tonight to Golden State, but in the end, in overtime, the Warriors win 103-96. The Warriors are really all in on this. They are all in on this, getting 73 wins. Steph Curry played 42 minutes tonight. 42 minutes. You know who's not going to be playing 42 minutes in the latter part of the season? Any star on the San Antonio Spurs. As everybody starts figuring out where they're going to go in the postseason, if you're a team that's in the playoffs and you don't have much up or down growth to get in a playoff push, you're going to see guys sitting, you're going to see guys resting. Not Golden State, they're all in. Draymond Green played 43. Harrison Barnes played 42. This was an overtime win over Utah. They wanted this game. Because, again, they want 73. And I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I've never been a pop guy where you're like, I'm going to just rest everybody. And I'm just they're talking. Tony Parker was saying in an interview on a French radio station that Pop is going to rest guys when they play Golden State later this year. Greg Popovich and the Spurs don't have any. They're not chasing Golden State for the one. So, again, he's all about April. But let's be honest. These games with the Spurs are fun. Right? They're really, I mean, these are the final regular season games that are going to matter. They're going to be fun to watch. We're going to try to read something into it. Well, we're not going to be able to because LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi Leonard, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker probably sit. It'll be scrubs against the Warriors who are desperately trying to get to 73 and etch their names in the history books. I don't know if I necessarily think that the philosophy of the San Antonio Spurs is the be-all, end-all. I mean, if you're Golden State, yeah, go out there and get it. I just don't want them tired. This is too good of a season to be messing around with injuries and possibly exhaustion as you get to the playoffs. A lot of these guys are young. They won't be that tired. But if you give any team an opening, if you just get a little too much mileage, yeah, you don't know how that's going to play out. I wouldn't want to open that door for anybody. Coming up, the NL West. It's kind of confusing at the top. We'll try to sort it out. Chris Swick next from Yahoo Sports, breaking down some Major League Baseball.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
studied here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. And about 6 weeks ago, we started this MLB preview where we went over a division every single week. Chris Wick joining us from Yahoo Sports, Big League Stew. And this is the final one. We're doing the National League West before the season opener next week. My God, it's gone by so fast. Chris, how are you, my friend?
Baseball is right around the corner, so I am pretty excited right now.
I know. I was just talking to Adam about this. It feels like, you know, spring training just got started, and now we got the opener coming up on Sunday. You and I have been doing this, like I said earlier, five previous weeks. We've talked about some divisions that are hard to predict. If you take the Padres and the Rockies sort of out of it, the three teams in this NL West, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Diamondbacks, how hard is it to really predict where this division is going to go?
Yeah, so the NL West got really interesting with the Diamondbacks making their big plunge in the offseason and the Giants spending all this money. And, you know, the Dodgers obviously made some upgrades too, but now with all these early injuries, I think this is a lot more wide open between those three teams than we previously thought.
Let's start with the Dodgers. There's always some noise around the Dodgers, but in the end, they still have solid lineup and solid rotation. I want to talk about Jock Peterson. How important is it for them to get the solid year-long production out of him?
Yeah, Jock Peterson is an interesting guy. Everyone kind of knew that he was going to strike out a lot when he came up. And I think as we saw last season, that first half was not that bad. The average wasn't great, but he walked at a decent rate. He added a lot of home runs. I mean, I think, you know, the big comp for him has been Adam Dunn, and that's kind of what he gave him. And then things just cratered in the second half. And, you know, I think he's too talented and too young to really write off or give up on. I have some concerns just about some stories we heard last season about them all making him alter his swing. And I'm not sure how that would take for a guy who has a history of being a basically an all-or-nothing guy at the plate. So that concerns me a little bit.
In terms of losing Zach Greinke, how much does that hurt their rotation? They still have Kershaw, but does the Greinke loss really hurt them?
I think it hurts quite a bit, and that was even before we saw some of these early injuries. You know, Brett Anderson went down for a few weeks. Mike Bolsinger was supposed to step in as their five after all the injuries, and even he's hurt. You know, what worries me is Scott Kevner the last 2 years, he's been a great comeback story, but both years in the second half, he's faded down the stretch. And I think, you know, part of the issue with him is he was out of baseball for a couple years. He wasn't the healthiest guy before that, and I just worry about him wearing down as the season goes on. He's now slated as their number two, depending on how you feel about Kenta Maeda. And, you know, if he has another second half collapse, that could be pretty dangerous for them because, as of right now, even though they went out and signed all these guys and they have all these guys coming back from injury, they're going to open the season with rotation being their biggest weakness.
Let's go to the Greinke's new team, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who jumped in improvement. Now they've got Greinke, they've got Shelby Miller. How do you evaluate the Diamondbacks' rotation among not only the National League but Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I definitely like what I see among the top three. Patrick Corbin will be back from Tommy John surgery, and it's been over a year for him now. He'll probably have to have his innings limited down the stretch, but prior to having Tommy John surgery, he looked like a definite number two and maybe even a number one. You know, it drops off a little bit behind them, and there's some interesting guys at the back end of that rotation. Robbie Ray had a nice season for them last year, and I think the question with him is just, can he do it again? This is a guy who was traded multiple times, and so I guess you can look at that two ways. You can look at that as a lot of teams wanted him or a lot of teams wanted to give up on him. So I'm really not sure what to make of him. And Robbie De La Rosa, he's always been a guy with great stuff who has never put it together. You know, the guy who's not getting no one's talking about Archie Bradley, is what I would like to say. Last season, he was one of the best prospects in the game, and he was supposed to be their five starter. And he got hurt pretty early on, and that kind of prevented him from making a big impact. But he's there. So if any of those guys at the back end fall off, I still feel pretty good about Bradley coming up and being an impact player.
Are the Diamondbacks still, you know, they improved a lot, but they still, you know, they had about a 500 record, a little less than 500. Is the expectation a playoff team this year? Have they improved this in the offseason that much to consider them a front runner or a playoff contender?
I think they've definitely made themselves contenders. Personally, I don't have them in the playoffs right now, but I will admit that with this Dodgers injury problem, I'm starting to question that a little bit. And I think if you look at the Giants, who I'm sure we'll talk about soon, they're depending on two pitchers at the top of that rotation coming off some questionable seasons in Johnny Cueto and Jess DeMargia. So I think, you know, you look at the Diamondbacks, you see the moves they made, they've clearly improved, and then you consider the Dodgers' injuries and the Giants being, you know, one or two pitchers away from not being as good as we expect. And I think you can easily see a path where the Diamondbacks sneak into a wild card spot.
Oh, but with the Giants, it's an even year, so that must mean they're going to win the World Series, right? Isn't that how that goes in Major League Baseball with the Giants?
Yeah, exactly, yes. The even year magic is back. It certainly helps that they seem to embrace that in the offseason and spend all this money, too. you know, as I hinted at, I mean, Cueto and Samardzija, there are some questions, but that's also a really great park for pitchers. And, you know, with Cueto, he only had a rough second half. He's been a really great pitcher throughout the rest of his career. And so if you believe he's healthy, you got to believe that he's going to be much better with the Giants. And then on offense, you know, Denard Span was a nice under-the-radar pickup. He's another guy, of course, coming off an injury-plagued season, so you have to worry about that a little bit. But when he's been healthy the last couple seasons, he's been an exceptional leadoff man for the Nationals. So I like what they did during the offseason. I think that lineup is really scary if they can get Span to come back, if they can get Hunter Pence to be totally healthy. You know, 1 through 8, that's pretty tough. And then you have Angel Pagan at 9. But you know what? You just deal with that when the rest of your lineup's so great.
What happened to the San Diego Padres? Is there any bounce back? I'm not talking playoffs. I'm just talking maybe respectability for San Diego.
Yeah, I've seen some people predict that for them. I don't really see it. It's tough for me to look at that lineup and find a lot of positives. You know, Matt Kemp is their star guy, and he's got those degenerative hip issues, so that's a little bit of a concern. Will Myers, I see a lot of people predicting breakout for him. You know, the problem has been injuries the last couple seasons. He really needs to prove he can stay healthy. And also, you know, he hasn't been exactly what everyone has expected, so he's got to prove a couple things. And then really the only other big threat in that lineup to me is Derek Norris, the catcher, and, you know, I'd say he's pretty limited as far as batting average and especially defensively. So I have some concerns there. The weird thing about the Padres last season especially was Petco Park, which has normally played as an extreme pitcher's park, allowed a ton of home runs last season. And so that was part of the issue behind Shields struggling. Ian Kennedy, who's no longer there, he gave up a ton of home runs.
Only thing I want to ask you about the Rockies, that what is the percentage chance that Carlos Gonzalez is traded at the deadline this year?
I would have to put it somewhere at 85%. I just can't see a scenario where they hold on to him at this point. He's way too valuable to be playing on a team that's going to win 68 games. And you got to think other teams will be, if they're not already looking at him, especially at the deadline, especially if somebody gets hurt, Carlos Gonzalez could be the biggest name traded.
Chris Swick, again, Big League Stew is the part of Yahoo Sports. He has been helping us all year on these Major League Baseball previews, and I hope to get him on during the regular season as well. Great talking to you, my friend.
You too. Yeah, looking forward to it anytime you need me.
All right, again, Chris Swick helping us break down the National League West. We will do that coming up next as Adam and I not only go over the NL West, but kind of give our final thoughts of the baseball preview before we start things next week. And also your thoughts on the D'Angelo Russell situation. What would you do if you were the Lakers? Do you trade him? He's young. He's talented. He's your second overall pick. Or do you try to mend this the best way you can? Poor Nick Young, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks to Chris Swick. Joins us to talk Major League Baseball. Starts next week from Big League Stew, Yahoo Sports. We got to get Chris on during the season. Give us a little recap what's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
I can lose track of the season rather quickly. Before I know it, I'm like, oh my God, they played 30 games already. NL West. A little complicated because there's three teams that should be pretty good, but I don't know if I'm buying Arizona as a team that could win that division yet.
See,
I know Greinke's good and Paul Goldschmidt is a superstar, but I don't know yet.
I personally really like the Diamondbacks. They had baseball's best offense last year.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, and they added pitching, what they needed, and if getting Patrick Corbin back really healthy, truly healthy, and hopefully, like Chris Swick mentioned in the interview, Archie Bradley becoming what everyone thought he could be, they could be a very scary team.
They could be, but I mean, division beating the Dodgers for the division good?
I still don't trust the Dodgers. I never have trusted the Dodgers because they have all this talent, and they can win the division, obviously. They've done it. But they still don't have... They never put anything together. They're the team that gets to the playoffs and just sits there.
Let me ask you this, though. That is very true if you're talking about teams to win the World Series, right? Like, oh, they get to the playoffs, but they never do anything. That's almost a separate issue from getting to the playoffs. Like, in a 162-game season marathon, I think the Dodgers are... there's too much talent there not to win the division, or at least be around to win the division at the end. See, oh yes, in a 7-game series, yes, absolutely, you can beat them, you can catch them off guard, and you can throw them out of the playoffs. But I can't see the Dodgers not winning the division unless the Giants. It's good. They could beat each other up enough to make it interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one because, I personally could see any of the three winning it. But with the Dodgers, I just feel like while the other two got better, the Dodgers really didn't. What the Dodgers got better at was bringing up Corey Seager and then just hoping that Yasiel Puig isn't a crazy person. And then hopefully Jock Peterson can learn how to actually touch the baseball outside of hitting a home run.
Yeah, Jock Peterson's a big deal because he is so up and down, and he strikes out, but a lot of young talent strikes out. It's not just that. It's just being able to say, okay, he basically lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, he went from making the All-Star team to losing his job.
Right.
And you can't have that when you're relying on young talent. Corey Seager can hit anywhere, anytime.
Oh, yes. He's
phenomenal.
He's awesome.
I mean, he was in Oklahoma City last year, mm-hmm. tearing it up.
Yeah, he's the number one prospect coming into the season. But my thing is, can Scott Kazmir and the Japanese pitcher they just brought in, Kenta Maeda, can they cover up what Greinke did last year?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They're obviously not going to do what Greinke did last year because he was a top three Cy Young candidate. But
right.
Can they cover up just being in the rotation? And I still don't know. A lot of people aren't sold on Maeda yet.
Yeah. Now, what about the Giants? Because the Giants, everything I read about the Giants, there is a ton of, like, what ifs. There is, they have to have this, and they have to do this.
Tons of what
ifs. If this works out and this works out. Like, everyone's got four or five superlatives on the Giants to say, okay, here's what they look like, but all of these things have to go to play. If they're going to compete, all of these things have to happen. And that seems to me like that's just too much.
Here's what I'd say about the Giants. We know Madison Bumgarner's really good. We know Buster Posey's really good. We know Brandon Belt will probably put up the numbers he's put up the last few years. Outside of that, can Brandon Crawford be a I think he hit 320 last year. Can he do that again? Can Joe Panic, the second baseman, be as good as he was last year? And can Denard Span stay healthy? Hunter Pence stay healthy? And then the rotation after Bumgarner is just crazy with Peavy, Samardzija, Cueto,
Samardzija got $90 million.
They have four guys in the rotation that I just named. Samardzija, Kane, Cueto, and now I'm going to blank on the other one. Peavy.
Those four guys. Peavy. How old is Peavy? 50?
Yeah. I mean, they're all question marks. We have no idea. Cueto's really good, but we still don't can he be that guy? He outside of the few years in Cincinnati, he really hasn't been. He went to Kansas City last year and struggled. So I just, yes, you put it perfectly. It's a bunch of question marks, and if it all works out, they might be the best team in baseball.
Yeah, it's I just don't, whenever I read previews and look up previews, I don't like, I just don't like it when somebody says, this team could be really good, and here's a whole bunch of reasons, things that have to happen.
Yeah.
By the way, I had to look it up. Jake Peavy's only 34. I feel like Jake Peavy's been in the league for 50 years. I feel like I've been reading about him forever.
Yeah,
it's only 34.
Speaking of Jake Peavy, it feels like he was on the White Sox like 10 years ago.
Right, exactly.
I think 3 years ago he was on the White Sox.
Like all of a sudden I'm making him out to be Jamie Moyer, okay? He's making a roster at like 49 years old.
Just still throwing junk balls.
Jake Peavy. All right. But yeah, like I have always liked the Diamondbacks. So I hope the Diamondbacks do yeah. well. I've always, that was one of the first teams. I lived in Vegas in the late 90s. I loved the fact that I married a Tampa girl because I lived in Las Vegas. I married a girl from St. Pete. In the 1998 season, we spent part of our honeymoon before we flew back to Las Vegas, hanging out in St. Pete where she grew up. And we went to a Tampa Bay Rays game in their inaugural season. And then later in the 1998 season, our radio station took a couple of listeners down to Phoenix for a Diamondbacks game in the inaugural season. So it was kind of neat to be in both stadiums for the inaugural season. I've always had this kind of feeling with the Diamondbacks. Because our first station in Vegas we carried their first year. But the NL West is interesting. And covering the Colorado Rockies for 10 years, I hope Carlos Gonzalez is gone. Yes. I hope he is gone. Get out of there. Even though it's a great hitter's place, go win somewhere.
Yes.
God, that team stinks. All right, coming up next hour, we'll talk a little NHL and Adam's news of the day. Yahoo Sports Radio.